3.5 years. It's not even the same place. It's not the same place. I always say we're a nation in decline. We're a nation in really serious, serious decline. But we will rapidly review the cases of every political prisoner who is unjustly victimized by the Biden regime, including Paula, so we can get them out of the gulags and back to their families where they belong. Paula, just hold on, Paula. We're going to get you out of there. Can you imagine this? This is a good woman. This is a religious woman, and they throw her in jail. I will also create a new federal task force on fighting anti-Christian bias. Its mission will be to investigate all forms of illegal discrimination, harassment, persecution against Christians in America. And it's taking place at a level that nobody can believe. We're like a country from a different country. We're like, this is not America anymore that we're living in. These people are nasty. They're bad. They're bad. But you know what? We're tougher than they are. We're tougher than they are. But we have to be smart. We have to vote. We have to get out and vote. You cannot sit home. This one day you have to get out and vote. Never again will the federal government be used to target religious believers. Americans of faith, and that's all it is. It's Americans of faith are not a threat to our country. Americans of faith are the soul of our country. One of the reasons we have so much crime is you don't have the faith. You know, you don't have people wanting to be good because they want to go to that special place. They want to be good. There's no reason. It's like religion is, it's going down at a level that nobody's seen before. Nobody's seen anything like it. And it's really having a tremendous effect long beyond our churches and our synagogues and our mosques. It's long beyond, it's beyond everything. Religion is becoming less and less of a factor, less and less important in our country. And that's causing a lot of the chaos and a lot of the crime that you see. If they were grown up with religion, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing, because they're doing really bad, bad things. So we're going to get it stopped.
Well, that was the voice of President Donald Trump. He was speaking at the Faith and Freedom Coalition that we were at last week. It's called Road to Victory. He gave an incredible speech, and we were in the room really enjoying it. I think certainly President Trump will not go down in history as the most eloquent speaker, but he will go down in history as someone without notes, hardly any notes at all. He remembers just about everything. He is no dummy. He's funny. He's hilarious. He's as serious as he can be. He really is one of the greatest champions for religious freedom that I've ever, any president that I've, in my lifetime. I know there were exceptions in the past, but for our lifetime, it's just amazing. And so whatever his flaws, he really champions the right causes. And you heard what he said just now. And you know, when he says it, he does it. What he says, he does. And that's one of the things I love about him. When he talked about Paula just then, he's talking about a woman from Massachusetts. Her name was Paulette Harlow, 75. She was just handed a 2-year prison sentence May 31st on an incident in 2020 where she and pro-life activists were at an abortion clinic protesting. She's 75 years old. We've never had the Justice Department going after pro-lifers in this way. She's just one of many. It's just shocking, the things that are happening. He's not overstating it. You know that he isn't. Well, it's appropriate that I should play that, have that little mini discussion with you on a day when I'm going to play the interview I did with Pastor Mark Harris, who is now the designated nominee for Congress in the 8th District in North Carolina. I've known Mark for a number of years. He ran for Congress a number of years ago, and you will not believe how they came after him. Not going to spoil it in my opening here. I remembered it, but I had no idea of all the details. They went after him because he's such a strong believer. He's a strong pastor, and he's strong on the issues, and they couldn't have that. Wait till you hear this story. But first, you know that you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can call us and leave us a message, and we always listen to them, and we will be using as many as we can on the air. Our email address is sandy@afr.net. You can reach us on you know, all the social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram and Getter and Truth Social and Twitter. Also, you can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base, and you can listen there, but you can go to Spotify and all the others if you would care to listen in that way. Apple. Also, you can go to sandyrios.com and listen very easily. Well, it's been 2 years since Roe versus Wade was overturned. And of course, during the time it was the law, over 65 million babies had their lives taken, with thousands more now taken every single day. Preborn honors these precious babies who never had a chance to take their first breath. Who would they have become? Every one of them was special. We've lost an entire generation. And with the abortion pill now accounting for 64% of abortions, ending a baby's life is all too convenient. And that's why every day, Preborn's network of clinics stands strong for these little defenseless babies, offering love, support, and a free ultrasound to introduce moms with unplanned pregnancies to the life growing inside of them. Once she sees her baby and hears the heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life. Will you join Preborn to help these save these babies' lives and really impact their mothers in life-changing ways? If you would, be willing to join us, and I know many of you already have, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, this is, I hope, inspiring to those of you who are pastors and those of you who are Christians who are, you know, not sure, you're on the fence about whether you should get involved in what's happening in the world today. I hope you'll listen to this, and I hope you'll enjoy it and be inspired on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. Sandy Rios with you, again live from the Washington Hilton. And let me say again, this is the place where President Reagan was shot. It's a famous hotel in really close to the heart of D.C. And it's an older hotel. It's beautiful. It's huge. But it's really pretty. They kept it up well, and it's been a while since I've been here, but it looks beautiful. Not that that matters to those of you listening, but it makes it pleasant for us. We're on Radio Row. There's, as you can hear, lots of noise, which is kind of fun. It gives energy. Daily Wire is next to me, and I'm not even sure who else is. I think Fox is here and other outlets. I haven't yet wandered around to see. But this is the Road to Victory Conference by the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Actually, it's my first time to be on their Radio Row, so it's a pleasure to be here. And there's a person sitting across from me who I've interviewed several times on the air. Never seen him before, but I know. He ran for Congress a few years ago, and I really I wanted him to win. I was trying to help him, and it really went badly in that race. It's Pastor Mark Harris. Pastor Harris, I've heard such great things about you, and the people that I know and trust really have a lot of trust in you. So that was a, can you kind of in a nutshell, that was, when was that, 2 years ago or four?
That was 6 years ago. That was 2018.
2018. So, first of all, we always have to ask why a pastor would run. You know, people can't reconcile that. Why would a pastor run for Congress? You know, have you lost your faith in God? You know, that's what they think. You've lost your calling, or you're, you know, not happy in the ministry. Or I don't know what your reasons were, but...
Well, I've certainly been happy in the ministry. I've been a pastor for 35 years, and I've had the privilege of pastoring and leading great churches in North Carolina, pastored one in Augusta, Georgia, for 5.5 years before I came back to North Carolina. But so I love ministry. The short answer is it is a sense of call. There's no question about it. In 2011, I was elected president of the North Carolina Baptist State Convention, and it was at that time that the marriage amendment was developing in North Carolina, and I was contacted by some folks and expressed to me that, Mark, with your role as president of the Baptist State Convention, we really need your help in helping mobilize folks for the marriage amendment. And I got involved with that. The Lord placed something on my heart straight out of Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. To see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. And so there was a call to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And God placed that in my heart. We managed to get involved and pass the marriage amendment 61% in North Carolina in 2012. And as a result of all of that, was invited to Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall event to share.
I've been there many times. I love that event.
I was invited to speak at the lunch and just share the North Carolina story and the marriage amendment. And I tell folks, I went there to share for 30 minutes at a luncheon, but God transformed my whole vision for ministry and what He had called me to do during that time, because it became very clear to me as I learned so much, things I think I had probably were taught to me maybe in American history in high school, but maybe I didn't pay attention, but I was introduced to the role and taken seriously the clergy played in the founding of this country. And there was a sense of responsibility that I left there with, Sandy, that I've never had experienced before. And I felt like I needed to get involved. I had been living inside the pillars of the church and enjoying that position and that leadership. Great churches, great people. But if we didn't get out on the field and take our message out there and be strong and stand for the values and principles in this country, we were going to lose it all.
Well, and we almost have, and we the same reasons you just described. But I do think, gosh, there's so much to say to you. We have a lot in common in terms of our faith and our involvement, because that's something that I know God called me to do, too. And it's been hard to bring other people along sometimes, because I think we've come a long way. Certainly, focus on the family, Family Research Council, which came out of that.
Right.
Has taught a lot of people, but the Southern Baptist Church sort of rose to the occasion for a number of years, and now they've made political involvement a dirty word.
They've really
managed to flip that on its head. Can you say anything about that, or would you care
to? I can say, you know, I've been disappointed, quite frankly, because when I look at the conservative resurgence that happened in the Southern Baptist Convention, beginning with Adrian Rogers' election in 1979 and all the way through the 80s, I mean, that was when I was coming of age, if you will, and in the 90s. I started pastoring when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And so, you know, over this period of time, I saw the conservative resurgence. I was a part of the conservative resurgence. And people knew that it was not only the principles that we were getting back to within the Southern Baptist Convention of viewing the Bible as God's Word, but that we also had a responsibility in our culture to get that message out and to stand up for religious freedom. We've heard it throughout this conference today. As you said, we've almost lost it. And the religious freedom, the very lawfare that we see that's happening today, I tell folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see these political trials and all these things that they're going after. You're just a half step away from going after pastors and other means that are going to be widespread. We've already got the isolated incidences we've seen, but it's going to be widespread lawfare against those just for preaching the gospel and standing up and speaking.
You're absolutely right. And, okay, so as a matter of history, because I was Southern Baptist, I was raised Southern Baptist, went to Southern Baptist University, then I was in a different denomination for years and years and years, and now I'm a Southern Baptist again. But the world gets broader and gets greater when you get outside the convention, because people can be, as you said, within the pillars of the church, and this is a big world, and God is everywhere.
He's in
everything, and he works, he operates through different labels and names and people that you, like even presidents who aren't perfect, right? He works through people like that. And so those scales came off my eyes a long time ago. It's hard for me to go back into that box, and I'm sure it is for you too.
Sure.
God, you know, Einstein once said that he came to a church and he said, I would have become a Christian, something like this, but when I went to church, the God that I had seen in the vast universe was they made him too small. He couldn't stand it because they made him too small. And I think that's kind of the concept. Sometimes God can be made too small by our cliques and our associations. But the Southern Baptist Church played such a huge role, especially in the 80s, yes, in a very good way on the abortion issue. They flipped that on its head because we were losing that battle. And on the gay rights issue, they were stalwart.
Yes.
And somewhere along the way, and I'm going to name names because Russell Moore came along, and he decided to teach all these young pastors that was too political, and that people were and it can be. You and I both know we have to constantly keep our priorities, that it's God first, and these things are cultural, but we have to be involved because God is in everything. Jesus is in everything. It's the priorities. But they made this like a dirty thing. That's that Baptists right. had sullied the whole name Evangelical or Southern Baptist. So they systematically went through all these pastors' conferences and now trained all this generation of pastors that they should not be involved in politics. That's my wide sweeping view.
Well,
of that.
And it was very purposeful.
Yes,
I mean, it
of
was
course.
Very purposeful. I mean, it wasn't just because, well, we've got to keep this separation. No, it's because they saw this movement and they saw that people were awakening and they saw these things that were happening. And the best way to shut them down was to just shut up the pulpits, shut the pastors down.
Right. And make it a thing of shame, and make
Absolutely.
It a thing of honor, that's not spiritual to do that, you know. And ironically, at the same time, they were pushing things that the left was pushing, like women in ministry. You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
They were pushing all of those issues very subtly. So it was really, really the Southern Baptists have been taken for a ride. And I don't know if they all know that. But we haven't recovered yet. So we have a generation now of pastors, not just Southern Baptists, who have gone to those seminaries and are taught they're not to be involved. Okay, so Mark Harris, it's 2024. What would you say to young pastors or older pastors now who are thinking that this is none of their business, they need to just preach a series in the book of, you know, Acts or whatever they're preaching, that they shouldn't be talking about this stuff? What would you say?
I would say that Jesus had a very clear commission to us, and we think of the Great Commission of go ye into all the world. But what we oftentimes forget is that Jesus told the disciples to occupy until he came. We have a responsibility as believers, as salt and light, to occupy and to be salt and light wherever we're living, whether it's in our cities. We need to be influencing leadership in those cities, on city councils, on school boards, and around where we are serving in our state government. We need to be salt and light, and we need to be that voice. We as believers are told to occupy until he comes, which means that we've got to be active and involved. He didn't say be isolated until I come. He didn't say go hide it under a bushel until I come. He said just the opposite of that. And pastors have got to understand that God has called you to be a spiritual leader. And as a spiritual leader, leadership has expectations that come with it. And what I did with Family Research Council in the years I worked there with them since 2019 is we were calling community impact teams to be set up in churches across the country that were involved in simply doing four things. We weren't taking over the pulpit. We weren't changing the message of anything. It was simply to say to a pastor, and pastors understood it, get lay leaders in your church that want to be involved. There are lay leaders that are waiting for the pastor to show the leadership of simply saying, look, would you be chairperson of our community impact team? And those community impact teams exist to do four things: to inform and to equip and to alert and to mobilize. It's really that simple. And if you have a team, just our churches are filled with committees. Heaven help us. We got plenty of committees that do everything.
Did you hear this Bible verse? For God so loved the world that he didn't send a committee?
He didn't send a committee.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
but no, we have so many committees. But what would how awesome would it be to have a team, a community impact team, or call it a public affairs committee, call it whatever you want to, but their responsibility is simply to do that. It is simply to inform the congregation of the issues that are happening around us. Everybody's so busy in their lives, they don't keep up with what's happening at the local school board. But if you've got a group that's informing them of what's happening in locally,
then they can act.
And nationally, sure.
Register to vote.
Exactly.
Get involved. You know, I've been on the radio for a long time, and this is not new coming from my mouth. It's that I have begged pastors. I say, you know, your people sitting there are facing the most horrendous things. Their children are being exposed to the most horrendous things.
Right.
They go to school, and it's like a different world, and you can't even talk about it. You can't tell them what it means to be male and female. You can't preach a series on that. You can't equip them. You can tell them about the dangers. The same with abortion. You can't do that because you might offend people. You know, what are you doing? I don't mean that. Yes, I get angry, but I also just trying to. You know, I remember. This is when I was in Chicago in the 90s. I was teaching voice at Barrington High School. Many things have changed. And I was going to, I don't think I was in radio yet. I must not have been.
Okay.
Because I was teaching voice. So I can say this now because Bill Hybels, people know a lot about him now. I loved him. He was a good friend of mine. And the church was wonderful at times, did some great things. But they were very close to this school, and I went into the library, and they had in the library black and white pictures of gay men, this is really gross, with condoms in color in the black and white photo in place. Just the different men sitting in different positions, and they were promoting condoms. I came out of that, this is in the 90s. I was so upset, and I went to the church leadership. I tried to get them to do something. Nothing.
Crickets.
Nothing. This is in their school. This is where their kids go to school. Can you imagine if you had a 14-year-old freshman going to that school and going to the library? Really, that's pornographic.
It is.
And it's now worse. It's worse. And how can pastors be silent on that, Pastor Mark?
I don't know how. And I really feel like one of these days everybody we know is going to have to give an account. For what they did, and I do believe as an under-shepherd of a congregation, you're going to have to give an account for what you did not share with your people and the importance of understanding the culture around us. You know, and one of the things that's been fascinating to me about being in this political arena is that, and Mike Huckabee said it one time, he said a pastor is one of the most natural people to serve in leadership because he said, let's face it, when you do a pathology report on America and you look at the issues that we're dealing with, to a pastor, they're not just political issues. They can put a name and face with every situation. Because I've sat at the kitchen table with couples who the man just lost his job and they're not sure how they're going to make ends meet. I've had people in my office, young people, that with their boyfriend and girlfriend, and she's just scared that she's pregnant. And I've actually taken them to a pregnancy resource center and then had to sit down with them, with their parents, to break this news to them and then help lead and counsel them. So abortion, those things, those aren't just political footballs to me. I can put names and faces with every one of those issues that we're dealing with in our time, including those that are dealing with the gender issue all along. We've got to recognize as pastors, we've got to get involved with real life. That's what Jesus did. He was real life touching people.
Yes, and I always, you'll probably like this. For years, I've started my radio show saying we're not called to be nice.
That's it.
We're not called to be nice. That has nothing to do with, it's a lot neater than I'm saying it, but because it's been edited, but
right.
God has not called us to get along or please people.
That's right.
Nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. Nice is about our reputation, not about God's.
Exactly.
Because Jesus wasn't nice.
That's right.
he confronted the leaders. They always say, you know, he wasn't political, but the leaders of the church were the leaders. They were the political leaders of their time.
Correct.
You blind guide, you hypocrites. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You have breath like white open graves, you know? I mean, he wasn't nice. He wasn't nice. I don't know how else to say it and how else to motivate, but I feel like pastors are living in another place, and the hammer is going to come down on them. Their churches are going to dry up. Their people are going to be destroyed.
That's right.
And there'll be no church. There'll be no salary. There'll be no building program. I'm sorry. I'm on a rant here.
Well,
but,
you're right. You're preaching to the choir. I totally understand
that. All right. So that being the case, all of that, pastors, please. And I know many of them do listen to my show, and they have gotten involved. And God bless each and every one of you who have done that. But Pastor Mark has decided to run for Congress again. And in the last time, I didn't say that, they started all these really nasty things. They went after him because he was such a conservative, and they really managed to destroy his campaign. We'll just leave it with that. I had it.
Well, and we won. I mean, that was the amazing part. Our campaign,
We
won. We knocked off a 3-term incumbent, first one in the country to do that in 2018. That was talking to talk, but not walking the walk. So we got in the general election. On election night, we'd won by 1,860 votes. And I went to orientation to the 116th Congress. And about on the second week of orientation, an activist with the State Board of Elections, is the day that they were to certify the races, suddenly announces that he's going to make a motion to pull my race from the certification. And these were his exact words, that it's come to my attention that some things have gone on in my part of the state, things that have gone on for years, that I can no longer turn a blind eye to them. And we didn't know what that meant. I mean, this is on a Tuesday afternoon, and we know nothing. We would later find out throughout the next several days that they were accusing a person that worked for our campaign of ballot harvesting in North Carolina. Now, the interesting part about it, there's a book that came out of it. My wife wrote it, called 13 Ballots.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's called 13 Ballots,
okay.
A Manufactured Scandal That Overturned an Election. And the foreword was written by Mike Huckabee, and who has been close to us through the whole thing, but it's 13 Ballots. And the reason for the title is because after the State Board of Elections, which there's so much there, Sandy, I could talk about the weaponization that happened. This is 2018, the weaponization of a government agency for political purposes. It was the first time in the history of North Carolina that they had overturned a federal election when the number of ballots in question would not have changed the outcome of the election. If you wanted to throw out all the absentee ballots in that county where they were claiming, I would have still won by over 500 votes. But they refused to certify me and to seat me. And they wanted to do this evidentiary hearing, all these things that they set up that would happen. In the midst of all of that, I got sick. I got deathly ill. I had diverticulitis that actually ruptured, and the poisons got all in my system. My wife saved my life. She got me to the hospital on a Friday morning that I thought I was battling maybe a light case of the flu that just turned worse and worse. Got to the hospital, and I remember going into the emergency room to triage, and that's the last thing I remember for 3 days, and I don't recall anything else. But in the midst of all of that, I was sepsis, and they called in my family and everything. And I went through 2 surgeries. In fact, I went through that hearing. When I went through that hearing at the State Board of Elections, I had a line going to my heart and was taking IV antibiotics twice a day that my wife was administering to me. And so in the midst of all of that, my friend Dan Bishop ended up running in the special election. The State Board was determined there was going to be what we would learn later, and all of it wouldn't come out till later. But the person that was this activist had actually been on the phone and with text messages with my Democrat opponent. Mark Elias was brought in. And you know Mark Elias.
Yes.
He represented the other side. He specializes in stealing elections.
In lawfare and elections.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And he was working over the State Board of Elections. So we went through all of that. I look at it honestly. I look at it now. and we know God's timing is perfect. I would not recommend to anybody the path that I had to travel, but I will say this. I had to go through two surgeries. I didn't run in the special election. Dan Bishop did. He beat the same opponent that I had beaten in the special election by basically the same percentage. So the
and
guy became...
And he's just as conservative as you are.
Just as strong conservative.
Yes, very.
Ooh, very
I've
strong.
I've interviewed him several times.
Absolutely. And I'm so proud of Dan Bishop.
Yeah.
And so for whatever reason, here's what I've said. I really believe that God knew that Dan Bishop needed to be there at this season. And when Dan decided that he was going to run for attorney general and he and I talked, he called me and we talked and he said, if you still have the stomach to do this, he said, here's what I'm going to do. And you should do what you feel led to do. And so we got in the race. We made a decision last fall. It was a 6-person primary. They threw you can only imagine the commercials. That $2 million in outside money was spent in my race, just total attack ads to stop me. My two opponents, I had five opponents. There were six of us in the race. Two of them put in over $1 million of their personal money into the race. The one guy had the $2 million outside money that was being spent to attack me. And at the end of the day, I won in the first ballot, didn't have to have a runoff, won the primary. It was vindication because Dan Bishop had told me, he said, Mark, I would do your polling before you make a decision if you feel led to do it. But he said, I can honestly tell you, as I travel throughout this district, everybody truly believes that you got ripped off. And honestly, we did. It was many told me, Mark, this is a trial balloon in 2018 for what they are positioning themselves for what they're going to need to do in 2020. And I look back now at all that happened. They thought North Carolina was going to turn out to be what Georgia turned out to be. And I think the groundwork was being laid. It was a trial balloon for what they could get away with in North Carolina. The man that they charged and with mishandling 13 ballots over three elections. In my election, it was only two. They said it was only two.
Wow.
They never would give him a trial. He continued to maintain his innocence, and they continued to say they offered plea deals and whatever for over 3 years. Over 3 years, I'm telling you, that they never would take him to trial. He contracted lung cancer in December of 21, and he died.
Oh, my goodness, Mark. I didn't know any of this.
In 2022. My birthday. He passed away on my birthday of 2022. He never got a chance to clear his name. In the meantime, the Democrat district attorney in Raleigh contacted my attorney 18 months after all this happened and said, tomorrow I'm going to put out a statement to the press that after federal, state, and local investigations, we have now found any evidence that would link Mark Harris to any of this. My attorney called me and said, man, you got to be excited about this. I said, David, it's just hard to get excited. He said, you don't understand. He said, when prosecutors do this and they don't find any evidence, they usually just slither off into the dark and they leave a cloud hanging over you. This lady, she is willing to put out a statement to the press. And I said, well, I appreciate her integrity and I have to honor that. And I do appreciate that. I said, but here's my problem. At that time, I said, David, it's been 18 months. He was my attorney. And I'll say to you today, Sandy, it's been over 5 years now. My wife nor I were ever interviewed by the FBI, the SBI, or local authorities about what we knew or didn't know about anything. There was no investigation of me. They knew I hadn't done anything wrong, anything illegal. I should have been seated. They should have turned over their evidence to law enforcement. And if they found something, then deal with it. But I should have been serving. So I told Stefanik a few moments ago when I saw her back there about to speak. I said, I feel like I'm 6 years late to the party, but I am getting here, it looks like now.
Well, Mark, the other part that you know well, but occurred to me, well, that's quite a story, that there's the dark forces. There's Satan. I just think... He wanted to stop you. He wanted to stop you no matter what. Look at that. Look at all you went through.
You did.
And it, so now, here you are. You prevailed again. And also, they did sell your reputation nationally. They did.
Oh, yeah.
They managed to say, oh, I just want to say that so people will understand. So this is really an important vindication. And now, are you in a safe district?
We're in R plus 18.
Okay.
So strong, safe district. My opponent at this point hasn't even filed an FEC report, so I'm grateful for that. I don't know. We're running like we're 10 points behind, because if you heard Mark Robinson, our lieutenant governor, running for governor, he's in a tight race in North Carolina. Dan Bishop is in a very tight race for attorney general. Okay. In my kind of district, we've got to drive up the turnout to make sure that we help get these guys over the finish line as well.
Well, so all the good people. I'm at the point in my life, I've been actually saying this for 20 years, all of my best friends have either been convicted or accused of terrible things. You know, the rest of them aren't doing anything. I'm just telling you. It started with Joe Scheidler. Joe was my dear friend, and he got, you know, charged by the National Organization for Women for racketeering, which was ridiculous. It was that other misuse of a statute. But anyway, so then I just kind of got used to it. My friends are all either in jail or going to jail, or pro-life protesters in jail, you know. So, all right, so Mark, let me ask you this as a question to you as a pastor.
Sure.
How should Christians prepare themselves for what might lie ahead here? As we watch international things, just the wires, the wheels coming off the bus internationally, it's just spinning out of control. Russia with, you know, warships off the coast of Cuba, no one doing anything about it. Spy balloons by the Chinese, 30,000 Chinese nationals running into San Diego from the, you know, running up these shores and being picked up by SUVs. We could go on. Economic situation, oh my gosh, the moral situation, the depravity. You know, how should we be living? How should we be living? Should we be in fear? Should we move to remote places? Practically speaking, how should Christians respond during this time?
We need to do what we know to do. I go back to my statement, Jesus' words continue to ring in my ears, occupy until I come. The space that God has planted you, where He has planted you, you've got to be faithful there. You've got to be engaged in the culture there. You've got to reach out and make the impact using the gifts that God has given you, just like you're using them and have been using them for years in this medium. I think you've got to be willing to do that. But I also believe as Christians, when you look at what's happening in the world, we've got to make sure that we have strong leadership, because we're losing our position in the nation because we have shown nothing but weakness for the last 4 years. It was a different world before 2021 when Joe Biden moved into this White House. Internationally, we were respected. They didn't know what to expect of Donald Trump. Listen, none of us knew what to expect of Donald Trump in 2016, me included. But we believed that this, given the options that we had in 2016, that Donald Trump was going to be the right option for us. And for all of those doubters then, for 2016 to 2020, you're welcome. Because we did step up and we did stand up and realize what needed to happen. You're welcome for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe. You're welcome for those decisions, for the strong economy we had. And God help us. If we hadn't had the strong economy with what COVID did to the strong economy, imagine what they could have done if they had been in the White House under Hillary Clinton and then follow it with another administration like the Biden administration. Disaster. So you've got to stand up and be engaged. I think believers, be faithful. I tell people all the time, they said, how did you keep your chin up? How do you keep fighting after all they put you through? God took me to the story of Joseph from the beginning. I mean, here's a guy that was lied about, who was sold out, who was slicked up by his own brothers, and they sold him out. But here's a guy that God had a plan, and God kept that call in his heart and his faithfulness wherever he was. He was the happy warrior. He was the one that was willing to stand and believe at every point. And all I knew to do when I went through that nightmare was trust my faith, stay in God's word, stand for the principles, which is what I was blessed to be able to do at Family Research Council, and at the same time be able to continue to preach the word. And this church reached out to me and said, come and be our pastor. It has been incredible. They just love God's word, and I love them, and we're working together, and it's been a phenomenal thing. So do what you know to do in those times of crisis. Just stay faithful to the word and faithful to God.
And we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't.
So we work until we see him, right?
That's exactly right.
All right, Pastor Mark Harris, running for Congress in the 8th District of North Carolina out of Norman, Lake Norman, North Carolina, right?
Actually, the church I pastor is Lake Norman. I'm actually in Union County,
okay.
North Carolina.
All right, Union
the
County.
The 8th District, North Carolina 8.
Okay, all right, very good. It's so nice to meet you in person. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to meet you. Thank
you. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, abortion telehealth has become increasingly available. And that combined with the accessibility of the abortion pill, legal abortions actually have increased in the United States after the overturning of Dobbs. Can you believe that? According to the Guttmacher Institute, by the way, Guttmacher is, you know, like a think tank. Yes, but they are the outreach of Planned Parenthood. So trust me, their stats are interesting and not always a trustworthy institute. But according to their own stats, over 1 million babies were aborted in 2023, the highest since 2012. With the availability of the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime where she tragically expels her child. And so that's why preborn is so important right now, because they can bypass all of these rules and regulations and really appeal to a woman's heart and mind by showing her a picture of her baby in utero in really wonderful detail. And most of these moms choose to keep their babies when they see that, or adopt them out. It usually goes either way, but it's a beautiful way to save lives and save moms and their hearts and their minds and their emotions for their lifetime, really. I don't think, because most women, according to stats, really never get quite over an abortion. Some of them do. They don't care. Doesn't matter. But many of them take this into their, you know, their senior years, the regret they have. And there are consequences that they didn't foresee when they made that decision. So this is a great way of helping women and saving babies. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
From the very first day that we take back the White House from crooked Joe Biden and his thugs, I believe we're going to have four of the greatest years in the history of our country. It's going to happen fast. Within moments of taking the oath of office, I will seal the border, stop the invasion, and send Joe Biden's illegal aliens back home where they belong. They belong back home. Don't give me any of that, USA. Go out and vote. That's all I ask. Don't say, USA, USA, we love Trump, USA, and then November 5th comes along, or any of the previous days, you know, the early voting. But, and then you say, darling, I'm just a little tired. I think I'll skip the vote. You can't do that. You got to vote. No USA right now. You just go out and vote. Then we'll go USA. Because then we're going to make our country great again.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, that was a part of President Trump's speech at the Road to Victory conference. And he went on to talk about how Christians don't vote. He said they attend church faithfully, but they don't vote. And it really was a mystery to him. You know, he's not from church culture. He doesn't understand it. Because being involved in what's happening in the country is just as natural as breathing to him. Well, it is to me, too, as a matter of fact. But I do know it's true that many Christians, especially those from some denominations, the Southern Baptists, have become one of the weakest on this. For some reason, well, I know, I've talked about it with Mark Harris in that interview. They have been led to believe that their political involvement, the role that they played in the 80s to push back abortion, which they did so powerfully, and to fight the resurgence of homosexual rights, lesbian rights, which has led now to transgender rights, to men participating in women's sports and being in women's locker rooms and women's showers. Really, that's your children. That's where your children are. And it's because many of you did not get involved and will not get involved. Many of you pastors refuse to speak about this stuff. And that's why. Look, it's everything happens by the sovereign will of God. I understand that too. But, you know, I'm a sovereignty plus will, free will person. I believe that's scriptural. I believe both are true. And I don't think that God, we are his hands. We are his feet. He told his disciples, why did he bother to tell them to go ye therefore? Couldn't he have just done that supernaturally? Spread the gospel without their help? Couldn't he have done that? Why didn't he? Because he sent his disciples and he sent us to be salt and light in this world and to make sure that people know what's truth. And all truth is God's truth. If you're fighting on the issue of abortion, if you're fighting on the issue of defining genders and on a gay marriage, which they have legalized, but we all know there's no such thing. We're living in fantasy. If you cannot, when every time you speak the truth to your friends and neighbors and your family, you are spreading the gospel because our God is the God of all truth. Truth is the entryway to helping them understand what's right and wrong. It's what helps make things clear. And sometimes, you know, even these issues can lead people to Christ. So I'm just telling you, please, I beg of you, if you haven't registered to vote, if you're thinking of sitting this out, if you have friends and family who are Christians, who are faithful Christians, pastor friends, pastors, please, please help register your people to vote. Because if you don't, the people in your congregation are going to be devastated by the events that unfold. Now, look, it might be time for the horrible persecution God, you know, we know about in Scripture and prophecy. It might be, but you know what? It might not be. We don't know the mind of God. We don't know the timing. No one does. Remember that? And so as long as we can fight, we are to put on the whole armor and stand, having done all we stand. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do something practical that would protect your people, the children in your congregation, the grandchildren, the ones in your own life? Why would you do nothing? Why would you stand by and watch all of these things happen and do nothing? You know, the Bible says, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him, that is a sin. Get involved before it's too late. I'm telling you, it's no exaggeration that if you do not get involved in this election, and even if you do, we might lose. And I'm not talking about even a party or even Donald Trump, although those are the people. That's the avenue. That's the venue in which the way in which we have to do this. But it's taking responsibility for your country, for the future of your children. It's not just earning a salary and saving. It is taking care of the circumstances. It's why my father at 19 went overseas and didn't die, but nearly died many times fighting that war, so that back home, things could be safe and the future could be bright. Well, we have our fight now, and it's here. It's here in our homes. It's in our neighborhoods. And you won't do your part? You're afraid that you're going to offend someone? You're afraid that you're going to offend a congregation, a neighbor, a friend? Please. This is not the time, again, to be nice. I say that all the time, don't I? This is the time to be courageous, bold, and a truth teller. It's the time to do practical things, to arm yourself practically. You do not mute the gospel by taking a stand. You bring honor to God by your courage. Remember, in Revelations, it tells us that cowards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Cowards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you being smart or are you being a coward? I'm just asking. And with that, you know, we talked to someone today who's certainly not a coward. That's Mark Harris. And I hope that you learned and were challenged. And I'm just trying to challenge you. That's my job. That's my job. It's to challenge you. That's how God has placed me in this seat and left me here so long. A long time I've been talking about this, but I believe that God has called me to that. It's to encourage you to stand up, say something, do something to save this country. All right, you can call me at 662-821-2040. You can send an email at sandy@afr.net. You know how to listen. You go to afr.net. You can go to Sandy Rios 24/7 or any of your podcast platforms to listen to this show. I want to thank our most recent sponsor, Timothy Plan. You know, you can put your money where your values are. And we just talked about those values, didn't we? And discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.